Oh, for a number of months. And so anybody going to agree with me that this no longer exists? All right. Father God, we praise you. And Becky, I know you prayed for healing already, but I just felt so strong in my spirit that this so-called virus, Father, I'm going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And that the church is healthy and strong. Healthy and strong. And Jesus, you never asked the Father once if it was his will to heal. Because it's your will to heal. Now, people, you need to receive and proclaim your healing. So let's worship the Lord for a moment. Lift up your voice. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. And we bless you. And we thank you that we are healed, that we are strong, that we are blessed. And we praise you, God. Our bodies are healthy. And we thank you, O God. Our mind is being renewed. Our bodies are healthy. And we praise you and thank you. And we thank you for the deliverance from this disease. And we praise you, this sickness. And we say it doesn't have a right to be here, Lord. And we thank you. God, we just pray that the presence of healing would just be here in such a powerful way. Your glory, Lord. And we thank you for that. And God, I prayed for Pastor Larry at his home this morning. I pray he receives his healing and strength literally surge through his body. We pray that and we thank you. And God, we're growing as a church, understanding the truths of your word. And too often, God, we question and we go, well, I don't know. Is it God's will? It's the will of the Father that we walk in health. And so I thank you, God, for the cross of Jesus. I thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now you turn to someone and say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And be seated. Matthew 6:33, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go into Mark for chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, because we're going to move out of Joshua, where we've been for basically the new year and into February. And I chatted last week about how they had gone into the new land. They had crossed over. They ate of the abundance of the land, the manna that was daily stopped, and they came under the blessing of the Lord. Anybody here want to live under the blessing of God? Well, if you're in Christ, you should be living under the blessing of God. Now, the only thing that gets born again when we come to Christ is our spirit. The spirit is made brand new. You got to look after your body. How many know that? How many love the aging process? I won't go there. And the mind has to be renewed. Has to be renewed. So a lot of the thinking we've had, whether it be growing up, things we've heard in our background, whatever, our thinking has to be changed. And the way we change our thinking is identify what is wrong with it, first of all. And often we do that by fresh inspiration and rhema of God's word. And so the spirit is made brand new. The soul has to be delivered, has to be set free, and then the newness of God's word is put in, and then our thinking changes. And by the way, this is, for me anyway, it's daily that I have to work on my thoughts, my thinking, and my speech. Anybody here? Yeah, it's constant. And then, of course, our bodies, well, you look after them the best that you know how. And, you know, it's amazing. The spirit's made brand new. The soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions are being renewed, and the body's slowly passing away. Now that you're all filled with hope, we end the service. Anyway, Matthew 6:33. I should turn to a 2. That would be a good thing. They were in a new land. When you came to Christ, if you're here this morning and have never given your life to Christ, it's your decision. Your decision. But when we came to Jesus Christ, we left, not in a physical sense, but we left this old world that is governed by the God of this age. Who is that? That's Satan. He is wreaking havoc, trying to anyway. It looks like in ways he's done a pretty good job. But I'm just a believer more and more and more that God has delegated, and Jesus said this, all authority is given you under heaven, that's to the church. We're supposed to be building the kingdom of God, folks. Okay, so there's a difference when we left that old world and we came into light, darkness to light, we were born again, and now we are governed by a whole new set of laws. That governance comes from God himself, King being Jesus. And Jesus left this earth and said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says something profound in Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek first his kingdom. Note those words, but seek first. We always, in the beginning of the year, the first part of the year, take a first fruits offering. Because everything that is first to God is very holy to him. You study that, that comes out of the Old Testament, Jesus being the firstborn over all creation. But Jesus is bringing now a whole new thought to his listeners. And to some of the listeners, it was blasphemy. Because he also called God Abba. Think about that, Abba. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. And he said, no, Abba, Father. Some people get offended by the translation daddy, papa. No, it's a beautiful translation. It's not disrespectful. He's still God. He's holy. He's mighty. But now we have been invited into the Father's house. Isn't that amazing? The Father's house. We've been invited in. A price was paid by the firstborn son, who is the first fruits. And we who have come to Christ now are called first fruits. There's a, that could be a month of messages to understand what that really means. Very amazing. But he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Meaning there's a new way of doing things. There's a kingdom that's governed in a different way than what you've been living in. Operate in it, live in it, understand it. And so often, and we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer today, but so often what we do is that we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but we don't take the time to understand how the kingdom of God operates here on this earth, because we are people of a new kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. But we have to take time to learn how the kingdom of God operates. It operates exactly opposite and so different than the world we're actually living in. But the truth is, we're living and operating in the kingdom, even though we're still here. Apostle Paul talked about being heavenly-minded. And what does that mean? You know, somebody said, don't be so heavenly-minded that you're no earthly good. Nah, throw that out. Be heavenly-minded. Be kingdom-minded. Because you can be effective on this earth when we understand kingdom authority and kingdom principles. So he says, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the context of that scripture was when he was talking to them about goods and finances and money. And he says, look it. He says, don't chase after those things. Don't worry about them. He said, seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom laws. Understand how the kingdom operates. And all these things shall be added unto you. In fact, and we're going to read scripture this morning, There are places in Mark, I believe it's 11, when Jesus talks about those who are pursuing the kingdom and have left behind earthly goods. He said that they're going to receive 100-fold, 100 times as much in this life, and then eternal life in the age to come. I'd like to be under the 100-fold blessing. Okay, the rest of you, I'll counsel you this week. I think that'd be an amazing blessing to be under. Remember last week I said, why was God moving them into this new land? Under that blessing, it was to proclaim and move forward the kingdom of God. This city, we, the church, we've got a lot of work to do. God's going to do it, but he does it now through the church. And so Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom. Parents, raising your kids. Obviously, you have and are the greatest influence to your children. Teach your children to seek Jesus. Teach your kids the kingdom of God. Just like the little ones we saw up here, teach them kingdom principles. Their future will be figured out. They'll hear the Holy Spirit. If they're to go off to college and university, fantastic. Boy, it'd be good to have some Bible-believing new generation that takes over the politics of this land. Amen. Hey, wow. Raising up leaders in the House to go take over Parliament. And our legislature. And our school system. Lawyers. Believing lawyers that would stand up against the God of this age in love but with authority. How about before we go home, we raise up some powerful men, young men and women of God. Would you say amen to that? Amen. That seek the kingdom of God and understand, because Proverbs says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. The righteous are supposed to be in charge. Well, that got a few amens. Listen, this is truth. The righteous are supposed to be in charge. And when we back out of all those things, man, we have no place of influence anymore. We need places of influence. We need to be at the table. We need to be in business. This is not in my message. We need to be in politics. We just got to get back to that place of godly influence. The nation needs us, and so does God, folks. Hallelujah. See, we think, no, God will just do everything. Newsflash. He's given the church the ability, the wisdom, the authority to be involved in that. He'll anoint us to be in those places, and we do the work of the Lord wherever we are. Amen? Okay. Seek first the kingdom. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Dean, are you going to have it up there? That'll be great. I'll just use that then. And this is such a powerful passage. The Gospels use the word kingdom, meaning kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, 119 sometimes or more throughout the Gospels. Obviously, it was important to Jesus to teach about this new way to live, about the kingdom of God. And what happens so often is, well, we have to wait for all those things till we get to heaven. No. Why would he teach in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. And where was it supposed to be done? On earth. It's supposed to be done here. The things that are in heaven are supposed to be happening here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The problem is, so often we argue over what's the will of God, because we teach, or that's been taught, well, I don't think we can know the will of God. That's not true. It is God's will that none should perish. There's this first will. That none should perish, that all shall come to repentance in Jesus Christ. So obviously, God would like a few more born-again believers in Medicine Hat than 10%. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Right? My goodness. It's His will people come to Christ. How do they find out about it? Well, the Holy Spirit works and we're there to be the messengers. So we know it's His will to save people. Thy will be done. We know it's His will to heal people. This has been an argument in the church for years. Well, I don't know. That was God's will. Of course it was God's will. Why would you pay the price of your very own son and shed blood if it was not His will to heal people and set people free? Of course it's God's will. We're the problem. Oh, I'm stepped on somebody's toes. We're the problem, not God. Because we have so much unbelief. Don't get upset with me, please. Don't get upset at that. Just examine the unbelief that's been in the church for years. I'm not criticizing. I've come a long ways. When we went into the ministry, I had so much unbelief, I couldn't believe God could use me. You should say, I couldn't believe it either. You were thinking it, I just said it. I mean, seriously, it was like, are you kidding me? Once in Walmart and behind a pulpit, and it's like, oh, God, like, I haven't been to Bible school, I haven't done that. Finally, the Lord said, enough. Enough. I'm the one that called you. I'll anoint you. You've got to start believing in who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to start believing who you are in Christ. You know, I just heard this yesterday. When will we start believing what the Bible says about us? When? How about we choose right now? When will we start believing what the Bible says about the church? Oh, it's so beautiful. Get to the verses, Mark. Get to the verses. Verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Next verse. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, now let me just explain why he taught in parables. If you go to Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. Anybody a king here? Okay, there's a few. Seriously, wait a minute. If you're in Christ, Revelation 1:6 says, we are a kingdom of kings and priests. So that means we're kings. Okay? So, he taught in parables. So those that were hungry to learn and understand would stick around and dig for the gold that was within the parable. They would search it out like that of a king because they knew there was such truth in that parable and what Christ was teaching that it would change the entire way that they live their lives. And so they stuck around and they dug and they hung with Jesus. I mean, think about this in Mark 6 or John 6. Jesus lost thousands of followers because he was teaching on the bread and the blood. And they went, woo, we're out of here. And he looks at Peter and he says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter speaks profound words. He said, no, not a chance. You hold the words to eternal life. Where are we going to go? They'd stuck around because there was gold that they were mining from parables. And he wanted to actually see who's going to stick around for this truth. Folks, there's such truth in the Word of God that we've glossed over at times and we've missed. But you know what? There's fresh inspiration this very day from the Word of God. It's for us. Verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, verse 4, And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. The seed is the word of God. Okay? Verse 5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Next verse. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. That's good soil. My goodness, that is good soil. Okay, let's go to 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What's he's not talking about physical ears. He's talking about open the heart. You see, everything that Jesus was trying to explain right off this parable, because in a minute he says, if you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand the rest of them. He's talking, the soil is our hearts. He's talking about the soil being the heart. And when our heart has been cultivated and watered by the Word of God and the things of the Holy Spirit, the seed of the Word can go into our heart and it can produce a crop. We can be fruitful because we believe what the Word says and we operate in the Word. That's how the kingdom, number one, works. It operates by the spoken Word of God. And by the way, you're made in the image of God, and so you also operate with your speech. This is so true. You operate with the words of your mouth. Your words have power. You speak things. You can speak unbelief and you can speak faith, one or the other. Our words are so powerful. So he's talking about the spiritual ears being the heart. Open your heart. Open your heart. Examine it. Let the Holy Spirit tell you if you've got wrong theology or thoughts or unbelief about some things that wait a minute, I'm seeing this in a whole new way now, Father. It's beautiful when you do that. I'll tell you the truth. Beautiful. Verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." The secret of the kingdom of God. Remember Proverbs 25:2? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. I can't search it out for you. I can bring new truths to you and fresh truths that God is working in our lives, but you got to start mining also because there's such incredible truth in the Word. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Now remember, he first came to Israel. He first came to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. The gospel, next. So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. I have to take a long time to explain that. I'm not going to go there today. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable?" Look how important it is to understand this one. "How then will you understand any parable?" He's saying, if you don't understand this one about the heart and four different conditions, four different soils of the heart, how are you going to get any other parable? And he's trying to teach them the difference between what they're actually physically living in and the kingdom of God that is going to come into their hearts. First of all, where's the kingdom now? If you're born again, it's in your heart. The kingdom is within you. In Luke, Jesus said, the Father is pleased. What a word, pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. That's being born again and then growing in the laws and understanding the kingdom. The kingdom of God operates by faith, not by sight. It doesn't operate when I believe it when I see it. No, it doesn't operate that way. It operates by faith. By faith, we receive all of God's goodness. The kingdom doesn't operate in when I see the miracle, I believe it. It doesn't operate like that. I'll prove it to you. Have any of you seen Jesus Christ in the flesh here? If you have, you're coming in to see one of the pastors. Has anyone seen Jesus in the flesh? No. Have you believed? How many have received Christ? Lift your hands. As Savior. As Savior. Of course. You know what he says? Blessed are those who have not seen, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but believed. Do you know you're a blessed people? Come on, say amen. You're a blessed people. You have believed, not by sight, by faith, you have received the message, the seed of the Word of God. The kingdom operates differently. The kingdom of God financially operates differently. The world says, hoard, get lots, get it and keep it, and build bigger barns, load up, stock up, because you're going to have lack in a little while. There's going to be something happen. So you better store up and you better get lots of cash in the bank and you better do this and you better do that. Hang on. Hold on. Batten down the hatches. That's how the world system works. It's a Babylonian system from Babylon, Old Testament. Keeps people in debt, keeps them enslaved, keeps them in sleepless nights. Keeps people worried because a spirit of money, mammon, is very powerful, but it's nothing to Jesus because it's been defeated. But the world system says, hang on. And then Jesus comes along and says, give it away. Give it away. Don't seek after that. So then we do the opposite thing. Then the church preached a message of poverty. No, poverty is not from God. Poverty is a curse. Write that down. Poverty is not from God. Poverty is a curse. I'm talking poverty. I'm not talking someone who is getting along and they can pay their bills and they're thrilled and they're joyful. They love the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking abject poverty. Take a look at what it does in the world. It is horrible. Most of the children that die before 10 years of age die because of poverty around the world. And we're thinking that that is from God? Wow. Let's change our thoughts towards that. That is not the will of God. Come on, everybody. Amen. It's not his will. And so Jesus was teaching them to give. And then, don't worry, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together. God was saying, take unrighteous mammon, Luke 16, give it away, and watch the seed grow and flourish. And we teach here, and we're going to get into this in the next few weeks, that it's okay to expect a harvest when you give. It is okay. Lord, I pray these words are falling on fertile soil right now. I really do. What? Think about this. The Psalms say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. Oh, that can't be true, Pastor Mark. Anybody here desire something you don't need? Oh, you sinners. Like, really? I take that back. You're saints, okay? But think about this. Do you desire something you really don't need? Yes, we do. We desire to, we're going to renovate the hall over there. And it's going to be updated and new. Do we need it? Do we want it? Yeah, it's going to look very nice, and it's going to be used more efficiently. Is that okay with God? You bet it is. And God's not broke. Come on, everybody. God isn't broke. That's kingdom financial thinking. God is not broke. The kingdom of God takes unrighteous money and uses it to grow the body of Christ, to give to the poor. We couldn't do it, like as Pastor Larry is seeing Oasis thrive and grow, and people are coming for food and they're coming to be ministered to. It takes people like you to obey God and give out of generosity so those people can be fed. And when we do that, when Becky and I do that, we call in our harvest. No farmer plants seed without expecting to take harvest off in the fall. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to be here till about 4 o'clock. We're going to get this. This is good, folks. This is kingdom, the kingdom of God. What is overflow for? And I'll get to a message sometime at some point. What's overflow in our lives for? To bless. To bless. I want to be a blessing. Don't you want to be a blessing? I heard a message yesterday, and oh, I laughed and laughed and laughed. A guy went into Wendy's, and he's down in the States, and him and his wife went there, and he's the lady's serving him, and a black lady, and she's just so happy to serve him in Wendy's, and so on and so forth. And the Lord speaks to him and says, "Give her $100." He says, "Yes, I'll do that." And so he pulls out a $100 bill. He says, "The Lord just told me to give you $100." She goes, "Oh, Jesus." "Jesus," she said. They're a little more animated than us white folk, you know what I'm saying? And then he says, "You know what? I'm going to give you $200. "Jesus." She's serving at Wendy's. And then she says, "You know what, sir?" She started to weep. "I didn't have money to buy Christmas dinner. Couldn't buy a Christmas dinner for my family." The kingdom of God is to bless. It's to bless. Overflow. That's a whole nother message sometime in 2046. Okay. Next verse. The farmer sows the word. The word's being sown this morning. Okay? It's being scattered. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Watch this. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now that can be non-believers. And it can be us. That can be us. Where we reject, no, that doesn't work that way. Let me tell you a story about how much unbelief I had when we were in Empress and thought I was doing the right thing. My van broke down. And it really broke down. And we didn't have money. We didn't have the finances to get this thing up and running. And so beautiful, saint of the church, elderly lady. And my office was at the back of the church, but I could hear the door. It was a small little building. And I heard the front door open. And in walks, and I could hear this very distinguished walk. I knew exactly who it was, sweet little lady. And she comes in, so I walked out to the sanctuary, and I said, "Oh, Mrs. So-and-so." "Oh," she said, "Pastor Mark, can I come and see you and sit down for a minute?" I said, "Sure." And she says, "I hear your van broke down." I said, yeah, we had another car, so we were whatever. And she says, "Well," and she opens up her purse. She takes her checkbook out. And I'm going, what is she up to here? This was lesson number one for me, okay, of thousands. And she says, "Well, I just want to help you out." I said, "Wow, that'd be amazing." So she writes there, and we're talking a bit about she'd lost her husband and those sorts of things and her family and all that. And she hands me the check, and it's $3,500. And I go, no. I said, I can't take that. And like, have I got stupid written all over my forehead here right now? And the Lord, right then and there, says, "What are you doing?" I heard it in my spirit. He said, "That's pride. you know there's no room for pride in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be receivers, we're givers, but you know what we've not been taught well to do is to receive. We've not been taught to receive. Like, as we prayed for healing, you have to receive healing. Everything in the kingdom is the same as salvation. Everything. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. None of you doubt your salvation. Oh, sure, the enemy will try, but you don't doubt your salvation. You know that if you were to leave this earth this afternoon, you'd be in glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know. Then why is everything else so difficult? Because this. You see all those children that came up on the platform? Jesus talked about children. Let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom. He said, you have to become like a child to receive the kingdom. Do you know why kids have so much faith? Because they haven't had their brain and their mind watered down with a pile of doubt throughout the years. They're filled with pure faith. They just believe. And so the Lord went, what are you doing? And I went, I'm not sure. In my mind, like I thought I was being holy or something. You know, oh, I don't need that money. And the van was sitting out there going, you need something. And I'm going, what is up with this? False humility. Pride. Wow. The blessing of the Lord. Somebody wants to give you something, don't rob them of a blessing. Don't rob them of a blessing. And that's what the Lord said. You're going to rob her of blessing. And I went, I ain't no thief, Lord. Thank you very much. I said that in my spirit. Yes, Lord, I am no thief. Whew. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. And so the kingdom was operating right there. God was teaching me things. He said, about a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke strongly to me. He said, you've toiled for a long time. Toil is an earth curse system. Write that down. Write it down. Toiling is the earth cursed system. It came in at the fall. Seriously, this is very important for everyone. Toiling is earth cursed. You read Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus says, what are you worried about? Look at the lilies of the field. They are clothed more beautiful than Solomon in all of his splendor. Yet they neither labor, they don't toil. God looks after me. He talks also about the sparrows there. Pastor Mark, does that mean we shouldn't work? Absolutely not. It means we work, we are diligent, but in the kingdom, we're working under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're working at our jobs in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're working in our business in the power of the Holy Spirit. And for some crazy reason, I thought it was my job to build a church. But unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. That word labor is toiling. And the Lord spoke so clearly, and he said, you will no longer toil. And I went, wow, whoa, that was a powerful word. But very quietly, you have been because you haven't fully trusted me. Does that resonate with anybody? The kingdom of God is not about toiling. It's about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that has transformed our lives, that has changed us, that has moved us and is moving us from glory to glory to glory. And no longer do we toil, but we work under the presence of the Holy Spirit and we give into the kingdom of God, and God shall supply all of our needs according to Christ's riches in glory. And in fact, if you delight yourself in the Lord, Wow, he gives you the desires of your heart, and your desires come in line with the Lord. And God's desire is not for us to be struggling and broke. It's so we can be a blessing to many other people. That's kingdom principles, bringing the kingdom of God on this earth curse system and bringing it to Wendy's. You know, I never carry cash on me anymore. I got a MasterCard and a debit card. No, you can't have my PIN number. And you know what the Lord said after I heard that message yesterday? I haven't told you this, honey, so. Seriously, you need to carry some cash. How are you going to bless someone if you have no cash? And so I'm going to start carrying some cash in my pocket, seriously, because I could be at that till, and the Lord says, I want you to bless that girl. Amen? Yeah, that's the kingdom of God. 11:45. Can we go for a few more minutes? Okay. Next verse. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and hear it at once, so that you preach the word and receive it with joy. But watch this. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's why it's very important when people come to know Christ that we get a mentor beside them and we start teaching them the word of God, because right away, the enemy will leave them alone for a bit, but boy, oh boy, whew, attack, because he wants to steal that word that's gone into the heart. Next verse. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. Now, this is very interesting because the thorns are listed. Watch this. Here's the thorns. The worries of this life. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, we're not to worry. That's what he taught. You read it for yourself. You know, do not worry. There's a difference between concern and worry. Worry is consuming. Worry is fear-based. Worry is lack-based. It's filled with anxiety. It's filled with your mind going over here and nothing but chaos. That's what worry is. So the worries of this life, now watch this, the deceitfulness of wealth. Well, I thought you said it was okay to have wealth. It is. It says the deceitfulness of it. You know, that's why the Father wants to bless us, but wait a minute, you have to understand kingdom laws. Because he's not going to give you what would take you away from him. Nobody here in their right. We used to, as a family, have motorbikes, and we enjoy motorbikes. And Josh, my son, when he was 16, had, forgive the language here, but had what was called a crotch rocket. Anybody know what that is? Oh, yeah, this thing had power, and then he upgraded, and that thing had power. Trust me. 16,000 RPMs down the highway in first gear, doing 150K an hour, you know it's moving. That thing had power. I allowed him to have that because I saw his maturity. He drove that thing safely. Now, I know the ills of a motorbike. But you would never take a 10-year-old and give that kid that bike. You see, God has to prepare our hearts to handle these things in the kingdom of God, or they can take us away from him. This is very important. So it's the deceitfulness of wealth, meaning, all your dependence is on wealth. Oh boy, would we be in trouble? Would we be in trouble? In fact, finances to Jesus were so important. In Luke 16, he says, if you don't get this, if you don't understand how to handle finances, who's going to trust you with true wealth? Think about that. All right? So it's the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things, meaning that if all you're desiring is those things, but you forget to seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to be in trouble. They come in and they choke. Think about that. They choke the word. And they make the word that's gone into that soil unfruitful. Now, here's the soil that we want our hearts to be. Here we go. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, that's talking about people who hear the word, the Spirit, by their Spirit, accept the Lord, accept the word, live a transformed life, and they begin to tell others, and they teach the word, and they tell people about the word of God, and they return. There's a return on that word 30, 60, and 100 times. I'm going to give you an example of this, and then we're going to close. I've been a little long, but I haven't preached that bad, okay? 100-fold soil. I'm going to preach a message on this. The Lord showed me this 3 weeks ago. What is 100-fold soil? Isaac sowed in a time of famine, drought. And it says he received 100 times as much in that year. That was physical stuff. 100 times. That was physical. Okay? So I was reading that, powerful. It just leapt off the page. But the Lord said, Mark, it's far more than material things. I said, yes, Father. And he said, here's 100-fold soil. He immediately took my mind to the woman at the well. Know the story, John chapter 4. Thirsty, physically, comes to the well, a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans don't mix. But Jesus is there, and he knows all about her life. 5 husbands later, broken woman. And the morning of Becky, your ladies' conference in April, when you have a woman's conference here in April, I'm going to preach this message. As I have some thoughts about that lady that I don't want to expound upon this morning, but she was broken. Her soul was famished. It was in great drought. And Jesus sowed the word into her. And he sowed love into her. He sowed acceptance into her. And he said, I'll give you water that'll never run dry. I'll give you living water. And she received, that famished soul of hers received. What did she do? She made a beeline for her community. And that seed returned 100-fold because the community came to Jesus Christ. You read the story. Folks, I'm asking the Lord for famished souls in this church. I'm asking the Lord for people who are so broken, so messed up, that they have been objects of scorn by the world and pushed to the edges, and sometimes, unfortunately, by the church. But would you agree with me, and it's going to take a lot of ministry, folks, would you agree with me? We'll take the rejects of the world and sometimes of the church. Would you agree? And we'll fill this church with those people. Now hear this. And the word of the Lord that's going to go into their famished soul will return 100-fold. What do you say? Amen. Wow. Lord, we'll take them. We want them. Because you desire them. Amen? Amen? Because you know what? That's you and I. We're the same way. Without Christ, where would we be? And we have absolutely zero ground to stand on except Christ. No right to judge anyone. Only the power to love people. Sharon, would you come to the piano? The power to love people. A new command I give you was the kingdom command. Love one another so that the world will know. wow, the kingdom of God. We're going to go on this journey now for about 6-7 weeks in the kingdom. The 40 days of prayer that you have is all about the kingdom of God. And truthfully, you can't get this in 7 weeks, but I'm going to pray we get it by the Holy Spirit to really powerfully understand the kingdom of God and the difference and the king's domain. That's what kingdom means, lives in our hearts and in our lives. Stand with me. I didn't expound on it this morning, but the first soil was a hard heart. That's the first soil. And folks, as believers, we can have that. I had it. I still have it at times. I still have it. But I keep asking the Lord to soften that heart of mine. Teach me new things. Teach Becca and I. Teach our staff. Teach the church. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that makes the heart hard as a believer is unbelief. And we taught on that as Israel was. That's why it took so long. That's why they were 40 years. They had unbelief because they didn't believe the promise of God. But the promises of God in Scripture are yes and amen. That's what they are. So I'm just going to, let's just wait on the Lord as I close. I want to ask the Holy Spirit how to close today, okay? Well, first of all, I always do this. If there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord, I want to give an invitation for you to receive Christ, and I'll have somebody pray with you and lead you to Jesus to receive him as Lord and Savior. If anybody's here, would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ this morning. I'm going to turn my life to Jesus today and follow him. Is there anyone here today? Simple. You believe with your confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. But we're going to explain it. Somebody's going to come up here. And is there anyone here you'd lift your hand? Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to lift my hand for this. I want to learn more about the kingdom of God. Anybody with me? I want to operate in kingdom principles. So, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful church of people. The church is people. It's not a building. It's people. I want to learn more and more about your kingdom, Father, to operate in it. Teach us your ways. Teach us your ways. We pray and we thank you, God, for such a beautiful crowd today that has listened, and I pray that they've received the word of God in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you received the 40 days of prayer? They were in the bulletin. Does everybody, most of you have one? Let's get that out. We'll close with inside there with the Lord's Prayer, okay? Some may know it, some may not know it, but if we've got it in front of us, share with someone. Come on up here, hon. And if you don't, how many need one? Lift your hand. 40 days of prayer. It starts March the 6th. Oh, over here. All right, right in, just open it up and you'll find it. And let's read it together in closing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock is our prayer summit, and Lori's going to lead us in some worship, and then we're going to pray. So that is 6 o'clock till 7:15. If you go to Wendy's, give somebody $100. Be a blessing in the restaurants. And we all said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.